Good afternoon. This is Digital Dave, and I'm with Randy Babbitt, recently confirmed administrator of the FAA. The top man in the land, I guess you could say.
You could. To the new post, yes, I am new to it. And yes, I do have oversight of the FAA, and it's a pretty exciting challenge at this point.
With recent events, I could say it's not the place I'd want to be.
No, we have such a wonderful group of people. The FAA is populated with 49,000 people. 15,000 of those are air traffic controllers, and the other roughly 35,000 people run all of the facilities, the training, the regulations, and it runs like a Swiss watch. I don't get to give them enough credit for what they do.
Well, I'm guessing that you're crediting them with allowing you to sleep at night.
Absolutely, allowing all of us to sleep at night.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you. What's your background? I understand you were a GA pilot. I guess everybody was a GA pilot at one point.
Yeah, that's true. I started flying when I was 16 years old. I sold it when I was 16.
I heard that it might not have been exactly 16.
It was pretty close to 16.
Yeah, okay.
I got my private when I was 17, commercial when I was 18, and my instructors. So I instructed while I was in college. And then went on into the airline world, where I flew for almost 25 years, a line pilot at Eastern for 20 of those years.
Okay, you're also president of the Airline Pilots Association for how long?
8 years.
Eight years?
Yes, sir.
So you have a very well-rounded background.
Yeah.
You've been at both ends of the spectrum.
Yep.
Let's just ask a generic question. What was your favorite kind of flying?
Oh, I enjoyed all, but I think, and I've had this discussion with people, gliding. I have a glider rating, or soloed in a glider, and that's probably the purest form of flying. It's
just almost, you and the wind.
It's almost a religious experience, a glider.
I've had the chance to do that once or twice, and I agree with you. I love I love gliders.
Well, I enjoy all flying, but it's just a very serene, lovely way to enjoy flying.
Okay. Many people feel that general aviation is under attack from many different fronts.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, general aviation in this economy, like a lot of components, are under attack. The economy of the country is showing its pressure on general aviation. Fuel prices are up. I think they're really pleased to suggest that they're weathering better than a lot of other sectors. The light sport aircraft, production is only down 5%, and that's much better than production in other parts of the economy. And you look around here at Air Venture, attendance is up, and it's terrific. It's great to see people that have such a passion for aviation here. And I think we're past the worst. I think we're looking at a little more downhill now. I think the big hill is over. So.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about the other elephant in the room, one of them, user fees. What is the current administration's opinion, feeling, direction, whatever you can tell us?
Sure. The user fee, it's a sensitive issue. We do have to have enough money to obviously run the FAA. And there is a formula that it gets subjected to. When fuel is expensive and people fly less, that cuts into our revenue. When people fly less and pay less for tickets, that cuts into our revenue. When they ship less, that cuts into our revenue because cargo pays waybill taxes. When you put all of those things together, our stream of revenue is under a lot of pressure. And the reality is, if we had user fees, that too would be under pressure. So I think looking at the latest two bills that are out there, neither of them are suggesting user fees anymore. I think we are going to work together, and I really see a lot of cooperation between the various components in aviation to come up with a solution everybody can live with. We can't stifle general aviation at the very roots of it. That really harms. That's where aviation grows and starts from, and we can't overly burden that. But we do have to find a way that we can all live together and fund it. And maybe that means some more money from the general fund, but nothing is out of the question. But I don't think you're going to see user fees is the answer to the question.
Yes, I was just going to clarify that point. Another sticking point with a lot of guys around here is obviously the large aircraft safety program. The current feeling in a lot of venues is that is just a government agency exerting its grip and power and consolidating its empire, if you will. I mean, it's pretty well proven that a general aviation aircraft is not much of a weapon.
The understanding that our overarching challenge is aviation safety, that's number one. And we've got to take into consideration, when we get new technology, We change regulations, we adapt. And, you know, I'm, as I've said to many of the groups that I've had the chance to chat with, interview, discuss in forums here, we welcome the input. And sometimes we'll put things out, propose rules, but that's why there's a comment period, when people get to give us feedback, and I welcome the feedback. These are, you're our eyes and ears out there. And organizations like the EAA and a lot of other good organizations out there are doing what they're supposed to do, and that is make noise when say, wait a minute, I don't think you should be doing that. We listen, and I hope we're responsive to that.
Well, that's very, very good. How have you liked Oshkosh so far? We'll get on to some easier questions.
Oh, good. Now, I love Oshkosh. I've said it in a couple of forums. If it has flown, is flying, or maybe going to fly, you'll see it here. And there's no place in the world where, and I've been before, this is not my first Oshkosh, but there's no place that you can feel people and the passion they have for aviation any closer than coming to Oshkosh and spending 2 or 3 days. It's just, nothing beats it.
It's unique. Your administration then is going to attempt to keep a balanced outlook between commercial and GA.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm hoping.
Oh, absolutely. Now, we have a huge responsibility to the entire aviation section. And, you know, I started in general aviation. I still fly little airplanes. I fly big airplanes, fly all kinds of stuff. But we have to have a balanced approach because we need each other in the industry. And I think the better dialogue that we have between those components of the industry and having better understanding so that people understand others' problems and, you know, what's wrong. And I think you've done a good job. I think the air carriers, a good example, understand when they stepped away from user fees and said, you know, they're right. You know, these folks can't afford these kind of things that we're proposing, and we'll find a better way.
Okay, on to commercial aviation. I understand there are changes in the works about duty hours and things like that as a result of the incident in New York.
Right.
And I had one person tell me that that's amazing that you guys have been able to move this quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this regulation has been in place close to 50 years, and it was designed literally for piston aircraft. And with, again, you know, looking back, we have technology today that the maximum we ever thought a crew could fly ever was 16 hours. We have airplanes doing 18-hour flights right now with the passengers on board. So technology outpaced our rules. Science has outpaced our rules. We know a lot more about fatigue. We know a lot more about recognizing fatigue. And so all of those things are being addressed. We're going to redo the regulations, and it will be record time. We're going to have, I hope to have a rule in place by the end of the year, which will be, we didn't even think we'd have a rulemaking committee in place by then. We're going to have a rule by then. So.
Well, that's fantastic. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you're working on making the FAA a little more efficient, a little quicker, a little more flexible?
Well, I think the underlying ability to do that has been there. I think, you know, I've got a great team of folks. I think events, and I think we've been able to sort of stress that, you know, we can't be overtaken by these events. We need to move briskly forward here with some of these things. And the response has been awesome, and I know it. I've asked a lot of people. Their response has been just stunning. In a good sense. I mean, it has. I'm overwhelmed with their let's just do it, this lack of a better word. And it's a big challenge, and they know it. We've got a lot of other challenges, next generation of navigation, you know, how we track airplanes, meter them, space them, keep them apart, all got to be new within a decade. So.
Does the FAA have any position, any feelings on the fact that general aviation airports are also under attack? We see so many of them literally being plowed under. You got to feel something about that, too.
Oh, sure. Well, one of the things that, you know, when I talk about NextGen, I always mention that we can increase the utilization. Sometimes people don't go to smaller airports because there is no navigational capability to land there. But with NextGen, we have the signal. We don't need to put an ILS in. We don't need to put a localizer or VOR approach in. We have the signal from GPS. All we need to do is design an approach. That's all we need to do. And so, when we offer, you know, guidance with some kind of weather, often people are forced to go to another airport because that bigger airport, you know, has ILS capability or you know, less than VFR operations are going to require some kind of landing assistance. When we put that at GA airports for almost no money, other than designing the approach, I think you stimulate people to go back to those airports because it has more utility to it. I can get in on the day that it's, you know, 702. I don't have to go to the other bigger airport where it's expensive to park my airplane anyway. So.
Now, this next-gen system is already being deployed or it's in testing phase?
Sir, we have the very approaches I'm talking about are up and running. We're looking at trying to get some interdepartmental cooperation. We're just in the talking stages now. But as an example, if we had such an approach at this airport, you know, for the grass runway, we put in an approach to get in here, technically we would need to get an environmental impact study done. My point is, people are landing here VFR anyway. We're not attracting new traffic. I'm simply going to help them get, you know, here with vertical and horizontal guidance and be safer. So can't we, you know, start to look at some sensible, practical exemptions from some of these rules so that we can employ safety or deploy safety more quickly?
Well, that's very forward-thinking. Some people would say that's very forward-thinking from a government agency. So you really do take that to heart. You're from the government and you're here to help.
That's right. That's right. I actually got to say that the other day. It was kind of fun. I walked into the cockpit of the FAA airplane and told the pilots just that. Hi, I'm from the FAA.
Oh, boy. The question is, were they happy to see you or not?
Oh, they were happy. Yeah, they were
very
happy.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think about the flying apartment complex out there, that A380?
That's quite a machine. That's all these big airplanes. You know, we're on the wave, the 787, the Airbus 380. These are, you know, just
again, it's
incredible.
Going to change the face of aviation.
Absolutely. And it, again, taking technology and deploying it to the next level of utility. I mean, these airplanes burn 15-20% less fuel than their predecessors. I think if that airplane is full, as I understand it, every passenger on it, each seat is enjoying about 55 miles per gallon of efficiency. 787 is in the same boat.
That's darn
incredible.
Good. Yeah,
darn
that is
good.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I was trying to get Airbus to let us do that 90-second evacuation drill, but I don't think they went for it. What about electric planes? Are you seeing those now for the first time?
Absolutely.
Now, that's got to have some of those guys back there scratching their head, like, how do we classify this?
Sure, well,
single motor land
instead of
single engine?
Yeah. No, that's, again, technology is going to be here, and we need to be ready to address it, you know, with the appropriate regulations. We've learned a lot in the last couple of years. You've seen some very interesting things where we let the industry itself design the standards.
You're speaking mostly with LSA.
Absolutely. But, you know, electric aircraft, the same thing. What should we, you're building the stuff, what are the technical standards? And people take that very seriously. I'm really encouraged with the integrity that the LSA group has maintained their standards, because I think everybody is aware that if they don't, then you're going to force the government to have to get more involved. And as long as their statistics, I had the pleasure to read them yesterday, they're as good or better than anything in GA. So they all take it very seriously. And
speaking of that, what about 51% rule? Has that been put to bed finally and clarified finally?
I think they're working their way through that. But that's a good example of our ability to interface with groups like the EAA, in particular on this rule. And understand, I think, what, you know, these things happen. You start off with an intent to do this. How do you measure it? And what was intended when you started the rule? And are we living up to the spirit of that? And I think we had to go back to that and say, okay, the spirit was this. I mean, remember that these building these airplanes is an instructive, it has an instructive nature to it. And so, you know, aren't we still trying to do that? And being able to buy everything and then just weld it all together or bolt it all together teaches you how to use a wrench. But, you know, we need to make sure that we're achieving what you want, and at the same time, we're, you know, people, we're not creating some avenue where somebody shortcuts the intent of why we did this.
Well, yeah, short circuit the system.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much, sir, for spending a few moments with me.
No problem. I enjoyed it.
All right.
Good luck to you and all your listeners.
Good luck to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much.